White Network presents Saturday Afternoon with Carolyn. Here's your host, Carolyn Yeager.
Hello.
Hello, Vincent.
Well, yeah, it works now. Yes, good.
Yes, we're on the air. We're being heard, and we've still got listeners there. Thank goodness. I want to apologize to the listeners first. You know, we got a little mixed up with our calls, and I got put on remote hold and by our Skype program, and when that happens, I find no way to change that. Finally, Tan, who had said he wasn't going to be around at the beginning of the show, he finally showed up, and he fixed it. So now we're starting, very late start, but thanks to these listeners for hanging on. So hello, Vincent, and welcome to the program.
Yes, and Marie is with me.
Very good. And hello, Marie.
Hello.
Let me, alright, I think you sound, loud enough. It's very nice to have you here. I'm just extremely glad, and I'm glad we finally got this problem. I'm quite shook up about it. I tried everything and nothing worked. But anyway, let's get onto our business here. This is Saturday Afternoon with Carolyn. And we had a little delayed start, but it is August 17th, 2013. And my guest is Vincent Renoir from Paris, France, and his dear assistant, Marie. And we've already greeted each other. And so what we want to talk about, Vincent, is your new videos. I first wanted you to tell us about your latest one, which is in English, the way I would translate it. Is it a contradiction to be a National Socialist and a Catholic? Because I find that a very fascinating topic. And I've been watching the video and listening, you know, to it in French. But I get a lot out of it because of all the visuals that you have. But now I'm really anxious that you will kind of go over it, what you present there, in English and for us English speakers.
Yes, yes, it's no problem. I prepare a little speak to present my latest video in English. Well, I am often told, Renoir, you are a Catholic, proponent of non-violence in favor of freedom of speech. You don't believe in a Jewish conspiracy. You are not racist, epidermal, or militaristic, and you say that you are a National Socialist. Is it not totally contradictory? And when somebody asks me this question, I just answer that for me, the essential character of National Socialism is one thing only, the rediscovery of the primacy of the common good in government. That's it. It's the only thing, but the consequences are enormous. Here, we retort, oh, big deal, our republics working for the common good, but they simply call it public interest. But it is precisely the semantic shift is critical. The common good is irrelevant to the public interest, and that's I want to explain in my latest video, because it's very, very important. in Europe, I don't know what's matter in the United States, a lot of person think that public interest is common good. But it's not the same thing. Govern in the public interest is having motto the freedom of one ends where the other begins. In practice, is to organize a society so that every citizen can, at best, satisfy their personal desires, that is to say, their private good, without interfering with its neighbor. This is how are managed society called individualistic society, that is to say, community that have central value, society with a central value, the free and equal individuals. They detach it from any religion or tradition, only interested in his well-organized life.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, in my video, I try to prove that individualistic society stems from a vision rejecting the existence of a great architect of the universe. So it's a society who rejects God. And the society makes a man come from an evolutionary process devoid of purpose. For example, in France, we have an author, Rémy Payne, who wrote in his most recent book, The Evolution from Darwin to the Latest Discovery, he writes, evolution is not going anywhere. It has no purpose.
And no purpose.
Yes.
That's what you said.
Yes. So, okay. Human beings, thank you, Marie, we are here, but without any cause. And, we have nothing to do, only to live, because after it will be finished. In 1939, a French biologist, Jean Rostand, wrote, "The human race will pass past dinosaur and stegocephalia. Gradually, the little star that serves as our sun abandon its illuminating power and heating. All life will be longer on Earth, sun expired, continue to turn endless boundless space." And his text is, at the end, he said that, well, life will be finished and we will have no trace, nothing will remind us, we will disappear all. So, I try to prove in my videos that since man is a result of a perchance in a changing world aimlessly, clans and cities and nations he has created are there only to ensure its own needs. Man is the last end of the societies that exist, because that the society exists only by him and cannot exist without him. Therefore, it is mandatory that these communities, everyone can satisfy his private interest, since these societies were made for this, and for that alone. Hence, the result is is highlighted by analyst Tony Alatrella, who said our societies manufacture create narcissistic individuals who are taken as object, reference, and end of everything. And so the primary purpose of government is to organize the community so that every citizen can at best satisfy his personal desires without disturbing its neighbor. The loop is logically complete. In this kind of society, the public interest is in view, that is to say, the sum of the individual interests. But in that sort of society, morality, what can be the morality in that sort of society? The analyst Tony Anatrella answered, without a spiritual conception of man, which we inherited, it is difficult to be sensitive to another trust than its immediate interest. The result is a deeply selfish society, so devoid of any higher ideal. However, as pointed out by Tony Anatrella, if the ego ideal does not meet a continuity in social life, sustained by universal and common ideals, social field, relationship with others, and the consequence of act of individuals lose their value. Everyone is with himself as in a desert. So we have a depressed society that denounces Tony Anatrella. In the first part of my video is that I try to prove that with another things, and I try to quote other authors, philosophers, etc., etc. And after, I said that a diametrically opposite worldview says that the man is a creature made from an intelligent design, or say a divine plan. And this vision was that of Hitler, because in Mein Kampf, Hitler spoke of a man image of the Lord. Hitler believed in God.
Now, who is Hitler? Hitler. Would you spell that?
Adolf Hitler.
Oh, Hitler. Okay. I'm glad I asked. I was way off there. Okay. Hitler.
Adolf Hitler in Mein Kampf, in the French version, page 401 in the French version of Mein Kampf, he spoke about a man image of Lord, and is very, very important that to say that Hitler wasn't atheist, never, and he wanted, and so he believed that man was a creature made from a intelligent design, you will say now in the United States. Of course, modern science seeks to demonstrate that man is descendant from a hominid, and any his superior intellectual activity is due to a simple complexity of his brain. The gap with the teaching of the church is undeniable, and a conflict should arise in the scientific Catholic I am. But, and I say that in my video, has science discovered where, when, and how Homo sapiens appeared? In other words, is science has discovered our direct ancestor, the famous missing link? Fourth is answered in the negative. In 2008, the monthly French magazine Research has published a report entitled The New History of Man. The chapter of the about the origin of Homo sapiens, in this chapter, we read where, when, and how Homo sapiens appear, honesty recommends, confess at the outset that this question will never very precise response. And 4 years later, or 5 years later, nothing has changed. In October 2012, another French magazine called Understanding Science published a special issue entitled The Origin of Man. And in the chapter The Primates to Modern Man, we read the evolutionary history of the human lineage is still far from being resolved. And further, among the 8 species of Australopithecus, it is impossible to determine a human ancestor. Some groups are close to us in their traits related to locomotion, others by their cranial character, and others by their jaw. Failing to identify a specific ancestor, science is unable to prove that the man descended from an hominid, and a slight complexity of his brain is solely responsible for the appearance of the thinking itself. Naturally, I let free those who think that is more modern, more logical or rational to believe that man is a product of a complexity of the material only. But from the moment you admit that man is a part of a divine plan, then you must admit that it must be part of an order is superior. And it's because, it's the reason that Hitler believed to a ordered society. The idea of a man created by God and subject to immutable natural order gives rise to concern primarily the common good society.
Okay, immutable. You said you're using the word immutable, right?
Yes, immutable. Yes, oh, yes. My accent okay. Is awful. The special feature of his property is to transcend the private interest, that is to say, to exceed without hitting the front, and the contrary. In his end, the common good is the best of the individual properties. And the great merit of Adolf Hitler, I said, is to have found all those things. I said it again, Hitler believed in God and spoke man the image of the Lord, and for him, for example, another example, it was necessary, I quote Hitler, to make the wedding the sanctity of an institution intended to create beings in the image of God. Later, he launched, I quote Hitler, "It is the will of God that once gave men their form, their nature, and faculties." So Hitler didn't believe that man was just a sophisticated animal from a change aimlessly. He believed in human nature willed by God. Hence, its logical belief in a natural order, a reflection of the divine order, governed by laws that man couldn't break. Hitler, for example, warned, I quote him, "In trying to rebel against the inflexible logic of nature, man is in conflict with the principle to which it owed its existence as a man. Thus, in acting against the wish of nature, he prepares his own rhyme. Rune. He prepares his own rune. Further, Hitler noted that the man would come to a higher level of humanity, I quote him, not listening to what some professed ideologues dementia, but learning about the rigorously observing the iron laws of nature. And having criticized the Judeo-Bolshevism ideology, Hitler wrote, Nature takes revenge mercilessly when we transgress his commandments. This is why I believe act in the spirit of the Helmicky, creature, for defending myself against the Jew, I am fighting to defend the work of the Lord. And that's all I wanted to prove in my video. And after I caught Hitler, I caught again and again Hitler in Mein Kampf, to say that if he wanted a society in order, it's only because he believed in intelligent design, and logically he rediscovered the importance of common good, and that's because I can be a Catholic and National Socialist too. It's not contradictory. Well, in my video, I say a lot of other things. I quote philosopher, etc. But in English, for me, it will be impossible to cut again. It's too complex for me. I don't speak enough English, so it's very difficult. But I will try to make my video translated in English. I have 3 or 4 videos translated, but we have to put it on the internet. It will made perhaps in 3 or 4 months, but not before, because we have a lot of work to do. But I will make a second video to say that there's no, a lot of person make a mistake. They think that even in 1933 or 1930, there was a doctrine. A lot of persons think that there was a Nazi, National Socialist doctrine.
Doctrine,
you know. And so they say to me, but if you are a National Socialist, you must be racist, you must be for the eugenism, I think, which you say, eugenism, for euthanasy, etc., etc. But
genocide. You must be for genocide. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, we mean genocide. You must be for killing all the cripples, etc., etc.
Right.
No. But it's not true, because, and I will prove it in another video, the next one, there was not a National Socialist ideology. In 1920, a lot of persons went with Hitler only to break the chains of Versailles Treaty. It was the first aim of National Socialist Party. And so a lot of persons went with Hitler, but it was only for that. Only to say, well, we must break the chains of the Versailles Treaty, and we must put Germany in order. That's all. And after, when they went to power, they began to think about doctrine. And very few people know that. For example, you know, a lot of we always say that Alfred Rosenberg was the ideologue. Well, he made in his book the myths of the 20th century, Alfred Rosenberg Alfred Rosenberg's book, the myth of the 19th century. A lot of persons think that this book was explain the Nazi National Socialist doctrine, but it's not true. Hitler said to his secretary that he wanted to read this book, and he didn't understand a thing, and he said, well, it's nothing, this book.
He didn't like it. I mean, he did say that. You know, he didn't think much of that book, and he thought Rosenberg was too difficult to follow and understand, and it wasn't his favorite author at all.
Yes, and he said it's stupidity. So, and he said to Rosenberg, you know, the intellectual must think about a problem, but after it's me will decide. So Hitler didn't want to be the slave of the intellectuals. He didn't have any doctrine. At the beginning, he said, we must put Germany in order. After war, perhaps we will create schools for to think, etc. But at the beginning, it wasn't question about that. So, until today, there is no National Socialist doctrine. We have to make this doctrine, and we have to think about that. Alors, so, what will be this doctrine? I don't know. But when somebody said to me, you are a Catholic, so you can't be a National Socialist, because the National Socialist doctrine is against Catholicism, I say, but there's no National Socialist doctrine. And when we say to me, oh, but the Pope Pius XI wrote Mit Brenede Sorge to condemn National Socialism, that's not true. You don't even have the word National Socialism is this text of the Pope. The Pope didn't like National Socialism, I know, but he didn't condemn it. And he couldn't, because there wasn't National Socialist doctrine. It's always the same thing. And so, that what I want to prove, it's, you can't say today, well, you can't be National Socialist because you are Catholic, because you are that, because you are that, I don't know, because you are a Jew, because you are, I don't know. No. Everything, we have to make a lot of things, and we have to think and to construct all the doctrine. So all the doors are open, are still open, and it's what we have to do now. That I wanted to prove, and what I would like to prove in my two or three next videos. Well, I have finished.
Well, that's great. You know, I have a few questions here. And I would, it's interesting what you're saying, because I've never heard anybody say that we still have to put together the National Socialist ideology or the National Socialist doctrine. Well, it is true that the development of National Socialism practically set aside by the war. I mean, you know, all those concerns pretty much when war hit got set to the side, and everything was, the whole thinking about the nation was simply that it was at war and had to fight this war, right?
Oh, yes. You know, I think that Hitler knew that war would come in 1937 or 1938. So, and since that year, he didn't want to speak about doctrine or ideology. He said, well, we must prepare the country to the war, because we will have a war. And it's terrible, but I think it's in 1941, he said, well, I am sorry that we didn't have war in 1938, because we would have won it should be easier to win in 1938 and now in 1940.
Who was he talking about? I'm not familiar with that. Who was he talking about being at war with in 1938? The same people that he was at war with in 1940?
Oh, sorry, I didn't understand the...
Okay, I'm talking too fast. Well, who was Hitler imagining being at war in 1938 with the same nations and parties that were at war with him in 1940? Or did he think that was pre-Churchill and... maybe it would have gone differently. What? Did you understand that? No.
I think that I understand, and Marie will say to you if the question is that she thinks.
Okay.
Did you ask if Hitler thought that he would have been in war against the same nations in 1908?
Yes.
Just a second.
Okay.
Je demande si Hitler pensait en 1938 qu'il serait en guerre avec les mêmes nations qu'il y a eu en...
Ah, yeah, that sounds, thank you, Marie. Yes, in 1938, he knew that England would prepare war until Churchill will be here. So he knew that with Churchill there would be a war. He knew that, but he didn't think that there will be a war with France.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't sure. But he knew with England and perhaps with the United States, because, for example, even in 1941, he said to von Ribbentrop, we will have to win very quickly against the USSR, because after USA will declare war, or we will have to declare war. So he said to Ribbentrop, we will have to win very, very quickly against USSR. And after the winter of 1941, Ribbentrop was very anxious. because he say, well, now we are in war with the United States, and we didn't want in USSR, so the situation is not very, very good. I think that, you know, when we study all the propaganda, the anti-German propaganda, in the United States, in England, in England, in France, since 1937, but 1938, it was sure that the war will come, you know.
Well, let me ask you this then. When Hitler decided that they must go into Poland in August 1939, was he then already sure that there would be war with because of Churchill? Because supposedly it's given that he was under the impression that they still would not declare war on him because of Poland.
In August 1939, he tried to avoid war with England, perhaps temporarily, I don't know, because of the agreement with the USSR. So, mm-hmm. when he decided to go to Poland, he thought that England wouldn't declare war.
Because of his treaty with the USSR.
Yes.
Okay.
It was, yes, and Ribbentrop said to him that England wouldn't declare war until the agreement with USSR. But he made a mistake. And when on the 3rd of September, England declared war, Hitler was said to Ribbentrop, and now what shall we do now, because we have war with England, and Hitler was affected. No, you say affected. Affected, because he didn't want war with England. He made all what he could to avoid war. But, you know, he knew that with Churchill, it would be very, very hard to avoid war. And you know, we have an aveu. How to say an aveu? An aveu. In, you know, today, a lot of people say that England and France went to war for Poland, but in June, in May, 1940, Churchill made a confession, or he didn't want, mm-hmm. he didn't want to make it. But when General Weygand, French, said, you know, we won't be able to fight anymore, it's finished for us, because your army is defeated by German army. Mm-hmm. Churchill said to Marshal Pétain, well, even if France stop fighting, England and USA will be able to continue war and to destroy National Socialism. Mm-hmm. Is what Churchill said. He didn't say we will be able to save Poland. No. In May 1940, he didn't say we will be able to save Poland. Because Poland, Churchill never mind Poland. But he said we will be able to destroy National Socialism. So it was an ideological war, and Hitler knew that it would be very, very difficult to avoid war with England, because he knew that it was England prepared an ideological war.
Yes, yes, he knew by then, and yet he continued to try to make peace, to try to come to some peace terms, didn't he? After that, but they were never even considered seriously at all.
Yes, you know, I made a video about the last attempt by Mussolini to avoid war in the 5th September. But
yeah.
Perhaps,
all right. You know, Vincent, we're going to have to wait on that. Well, we'll be back in 5 minutes, ladies and gentlemen, after our music break. And we'll continue this conversation and go into some new areas. ladies and gentlemen, this is the White Network, and we are in the second hour of the Saturday Afternoon with Carolyn on August 17th, and my guest is Vincent Renoir, and I'm sure you're waiting to hear him again. Vincent, when we went to the break, we you were talking about the peace. I asked about the peace offerings that Adolf Hitler had been making to Churchill and to Britain, and you were just talking about that when we had to cut off.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Few persons know that in the 31st of August, Mussolini wanted to save peace. And he proposed to France a new meeting, like the meeting in Munich in 1938, you know. And he said, well, we managed to save peace at Munich when England, France, Germany, and Italy made an agreement about Czechoslovakia. Perhaps it will be possible to make a new Munich and to have an agreement about Poland, because Poland, all Hitler wanted, it was Danzig and an autostrad, highway, sorry, an highway and train to go in Upper Silesia, you know. So it wasn't impossible. And Mussolini said to the French ambassador, do you think it's possible? And the French ambassador, sum up told you all the story, but France was okay. And Mussolini said, well, because before I speak about that to Hitler, I would like to know if England is okay. And France asked to England, are you okay with a meeting, the same sort of meeting that in Munich? And England say, we can't say no, because everyone must think that we want peace. We can't say no, but we ask that Poland must be invited to the meeting, because at Munich, Czechoslovakia wasn't invited.
Oh, all right.
So, and they said, well, okay, but Poland must be invited. And the first minister, the prime minister, said, we are sure that Hitler won't agree, and the Mussolini's attempt to save the peace will break. But it will be, we will be able to say that it's Hitler's fault and not ours. So it was very hypocrite.
Mm-hmm. Hypocritical, yes.
It was very hypocrite, how to say that?
Yes, hypocritical.
Hypocritical. So French ambassador came to see Mussolini and say, well, England, okay, they are okay, but Poland must be invited. Well, mm-hmm. And Mussolini said, okay, I will ask to Hitler. And he asked it to Hitler, and Hitler said, okay, I accept. Poland can be invited. There's no problem. Mm-hmm. But on the 1st of September, Germany, the German army went on Poland. And Mussolini said, okay, I will continue. I will continue to try to save peace. And French asked to England, well, do you want to continue or no? And England says the same thing. We can't say no because we are a democracy. It must be Hitler's fault, not who. So okay, we agree for a meeting, but German army must stop. And Mussolini say, okay, I will try to ask that to Hitler. Bon. And he asked it to Hitler. And Hitler said, okay, I stop all my armies.
What date was that? What date?
He said that. He accepts. He said, okay, I stop.
On what date, Vincent, was he willing to stop after they had already gone in?
It was on the 2nd of September.
Okay.
And when England knew that Hitler was agree, England said no. He must stop. German army must stop and go back to the boundary. No.
Mm-hmm.
Go back to Germany. And Mussolini said no. It's not possible. In history, you never saw a victory army go back. We always say, okay, we say in France an armistice. The two armies stop and we speak, but we never saw an army going back to his country before speaking. There's no example. So Mussolini said to Hitler, well, it's finished. It's impossible. I can't ask you that. And Hitler said, okay, there's no problem. I continue. And so the war continue, you know. But during the Nuremberg trial, when England spoke about this story, they always show the first paper. Mussolini asked to Hitler, "Do you want to stop?" And they only show the last message of Hitler on the 4th of September. He can say, well, I won't stop now. And they didn't show all the other documents in between, you know. They didn't show that. So they didn't show what England did in between, you know. So, and after they say, what, you can see that Hitler wanted war because Mussolini wanted to save peace, and Hitler said, no, it's no use. But when Hitler said, no, it's no use, it's when England wanted German army to go back to Germany. So. Mm-hmm. So
are all those steps available to us now? You know it. You're talking about it. Yeah.
I talked about that in one book and
okay.
in my video called Acquittement for Hitler. I don't know how to say acquittement in English.
Yeah, acquittal.
Acquittal, yes. You are in the USA, you can go on my YouTube channel. In France, it's impossible because they have been suppressed. Acquittal for Hitler number one, acquittal for Hitler number two. But in the United States, you can. On my YouTube channel, you have. But you know, they are already translated in English, but I have to put all the subtitle. It's a very, very long work, so it's not already made. But I would be very, very happy if, for example, an American man or American woman could speak to give his or her voice to
Well, you know, I had suggested this the last time you were on, I think, and I suggested Hadding Scott because he has a very good voice and he also even knows French, which would make it easier, and he was willing to do it, and you sent him some material, but somehow he never got around to doing it. He said something about it was time consuming or whatever. I don't know. Or maybe we could talk to him again, or maybe he's not the right person. It could be somebody else.
Okay, so I will put in the first time I will put subtitles, but it's as good as a new voice. But I will put subtitles. And Marie, she speaks English with a good accent, I think, and she speaks better than me. So she will try to speak and to give a voice for the videos. And so three or four of my best videos will be available in English. So you will be able to know about all the last attempt of Mussolini to save peace, and it's very, very exciting.
Well, you know, I knew about the attempts of Mussolini and so on, but I don't think I had ever, I wasn't aware of that there were these answers from England, these particular answers where they said, well, you know, we can't. Yeah. We have to put on a good face on this, even though we don't want what's being suggested. I didn't know that. That's pretty good.
Okay. Okay, good.
All right. And then to get to your YouTube channel, it is www.youtube.com/user/SansConcessionTV, and that's capital S-A-N-S, capital C-O-N-C-E-S-S-I-O-N. Capital T, capital V, and that's all one word, San Concesion TV. I mean, it all runs together. So that's real easy, and I'm on there right now, and, you know, all of everything is available there, all the videos. Plus your website, which has everything on it, is once again, you know, www.phdnm.org. That's N as in Nancy and M as in man. So that's the way that goes. And, but it's handy just to go to your YouTube channel, and it's very, very nice and easy to work with.
My website is in Detroit, in the United States, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah,
he's not in France. It's because he still exists, because he's hosted by Fatco in the ville of Detroit, in the city of Detroit in the United States. I think that he's in the south of the United States, but I don't know very well your geography. Like, thank you for the United States, because without Fatco hosting, I wouldn't be able to have a website, because in France, it's forbidden. And I tried to have a website in France, but 2 weeks after it was crashed.
Wow, that's just terrible. We don't think of France as being the worst of the European countries over there for being, you know, against all this, any speech about National Socialism or Hitler or anything, but the Holocaust. But it's pretty bad in France, isn't it?
I think that Germany is even worse.
Yes.
And Autriche, Germany and
Austria.
Right. Even worse. Are even worse. and Belgium too, you know, it's very, very difficult. But in Spain, in Italy, in England, I think it's better.
Right.
It's very hard today to live in France. You know, I will have two trials. The first in January, and the second in May, I think. And perhaps I will have to, I will be sentenced to jail too. Today it's very, very difficult to be in France. And perhaps one day I will fly back to England, I don't know, to Scotland, or to Ireland, I don't know, but now I am fed up with France. It's very, very difficult.
Yes. Well, I was going to say, though, you know, thank God that we can have all this web hosting here in the United States, and we have to keep that, our First Amendment, and keep these infringements from growing, which are, you know, people are trying to do. The Jews, as a matter of fact. And I want to get back to some questions from the very first part, but right now we've got Hadding Scott has called in, and he's on the call with us, and probably because of what I said. So let's let Hadding say what he wants to say here. Hi, Hadding.
Yeah, hello. Are you hearing me all right?
Yes, just fine.
Yeah, I was thinking about that voiceover thing recently, and it occurred to me that the simplest way to do it would be if you or Marie will read the translation along with the video, you know, so that you have a recording of the narration with the timing and the pace of the narration exactly right. And then somebody, could be me, could be anybody really, can then record the narration in unison with that. And that way, whoever records the narration for English doesn't have to watch the video very carefully to figure out exactly how to say everything. That's the barrier for me.
You know, Hadding, you said that to me back when, and I had, you know, forgotten what it was that you had said was a difficult for you to get going with it. You had mentioned that to me. So what do you think of that, Vincent?
Yes, I think it's possible because my friend Carlos translated all the video of five videos.
Oh,
it's translated in English, and we have the English text. And you know, when a photo appears, when a photo appears on the screen with my video, it translates the text. It translated the text in front of the video of the image. So it's very easy to read and to follow because you say, ah, it's this image. I must say that, and after this is this image. I must say that. It's very, very easy. So I think it will be possible to do something like that. And if Maryse makes that or another person, I can even put the time. And so it will be easier to do that. And I think that if a person accepts to do that, it won't be very long. It won't be very long to translate. To speak. It won't be very long. 3 or 4 hours that it will be finished for a video of 1 hour. I think. But the work is already made, practically already made. And thank you very much from you. I thank everybody would like to help me, and I thank Carlos, who translated freely. Thank you very much.
Yes. Okay, well, you know, I think, Hadding, you'd need to contact Vincent directly. The two of you would need to, you know, talk directly about it and decide how to send these recordings back and forth. Right?
Yes. Well, I see. I know how to do an audio recording, but I have not learned video editing yet. So I can just make an MP3.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Well, you two can communicate on that, but stay on the line, Hadding, if you want. We will continue here. I wanted to go, and I think I've given all of your, do you have any contribution information to give at this time? It's changed around somewhat. Are you able to receive money via PayPal now, Vincent and Marie?
Well, Marie will respond for me because she knows all that sort of things.
Okay, let's do that right now.
PayPal sponsored our account. So we had two accounts, and the PayPal sponsored both of them. So we don't have any PayPal account anymore. Oh. So to help us, if you are in the United States, you have to put some banknotes.
Money bills
in an envelope, and then we will do the change here in France.
No yes, check or anything like that. Just send cash.
Oh, no, it's too expensive.
Too expensive.
Yeah, right. I think so.
We prefer cash. Okay. Because it will be easier for us.
And they do get there. I mean, people shouldn't be overly nervous about it. Because it's very rare that it would be lost. And if people want to register their mail or something, their letter... But yes. Do you recommend that, or do you think it's just good enough to just put the money in and so it's not seen, you know, from the outside of the envelope and just send a regular letter? What do you think?
Yes, that's it. You told it right.
You can buy a birthday card and you put the cash in the birthday card and there's no problem, you know. It's always good. And we always receive the cash. There's no problem.
And okay. when we receive it, we just send an email to the person.
To the sender.
Right. So person should include their email address.
Yes.
So that you can let them know that you did receive it.
Yes.
They can or postal address if they want. Mm-hmm. And if they don't want, they don't put anything. Sometimes we receive an envelope with, for example, 50 euros, and there is no name, no address.
We don't know.
We say, okay, thank you, we don't know.
Thank you, unknown, but, voilà.
Right. Well, what is the address that the mailing address then?
We will put you a message because the address the address has changed. Now it's
okay.
We will put you a message now and, we will send you an email or, we will.
All right. I'll put it on the program page so people should look there.
Okay.
All right. And you might have it somewhere on your website too. Probably.
Yes.
PhDNM under donate or something is probably all
yes.
there.
You have a little image with donate. So
okay.
Click on donate and you have all the address and the information. You know, in France, they can censor your PayPal account. If you send or if you sell hate thing, you know, you have in the United States the hate laws, and if you send
hate.
How?
Hate, yes, hate, you're saying.
Yes, hate. And revisionism is known as hate, naturally. Mm-hmm. So if you sell revisionist books, they say, oh, it's anti-Semitism, so it's hate, so we censor your count. And I wanted to go on HyPay. It's an alternative to PayPal, you know. And this, I said, I open an account, and I wait, and I was 3, 4, 5, 6 days. But normally I only had to wait for 2 days, but I wait for 5, 6, 7 days. And I wrote them, say, well, what's the matter with my account? And they never, they never answered. So I can't have HyPay. And I think that every alternative to PayPal is forbidden for us. And even when I wanted to open a new website for my videos, it will be open it's already open, but you don't have all my videos on this new site. It was very, very difficult to find host, because when you go on the terms of use, etc., you always have a little text that you can't send or sell hate thing, racism, anti-Semitism, pornography, etc. So it's very, very hard today to find a hoster. Even sometimes in the United States, they say, you can't sell, etc., racism, anti-Semitism. Sometimes I say, perhaps in 10 years, it will be very, very difficult to have an internet site. So you can go to China, for example, but you have a problem with the language, you know. We try to go in Romania, on Russia, even Japan, but with language, it was impossible. So it's very, very difficult today, and it will be, I think, more and more difficult.
Well, we need to get on the ball here. More people need to realize this and not keep putting things off, because, yeah, all of a sudden we'll be shut off here, and that it's got to be just a terrible experience to be so silenced like that. Now, you know, and speaking then of how all of this is illegal in France, say, revisionism, anything about the Holocaust, and you know, you say that you are not, and you said you were not anti-Semitic, I believe that, and yet, you know, what would you say country for the common good, let's say a national socialist type country. Well, all right, let's say this. How do you explain that the Third Reich were they in their rights to have this feeling about the Jews as being a sort of an enemy and wanting to remove them? And I think that they weren't intending to remove the Jews. They were intending to take the Jews out of powerful positions. But I think it was the war that brought about the decision that they actually had to be removed from the country as much as possible, and from what was called the area of the Reich, because they were enemy agents or something. So that's one question, and the other one goes back to your idea about how we are created by God, and we didn't evolve from the apes. And I want to bring up the Africans. Do you think that we were created as black savage type Africans first, and then we evolved into what we are today, or were we created what we are today, and what does that make them? So So that's two very different things, but I wanted to get your answers to that, to both of them.
Well, for the first question, I wrote a book about Julius Streicher, you know?
Okay.
And in this book, I told about the situation of Germany in the 1920, 1925, 1913. And it's right to say that with the economic crisis, a lot of Jews came and bought a lot of things in Germany, manufactories, buildings, etc. And they had a lot of power in Germany. I think, and so, how to say it? So, I think that Hitler and a lot of other persons was right to say that we don't want anymore, we don't want Jews to rule Germany, you know, because it is evident that Jews ruled Germany in 1930, 1925, etc., etc. They had a lot of power. And I think that it was wrong to say to put all the Jews in the same bag or all the persons in the same bag. I don't know if you have an expression like that, but I think that it was a mistake to think that there was a collective responsibility of the Jews. I'm sure that a lot of Jews didn't want to rule Germany. But if I have been Hitler, I won't have reacted like that. Perhaps I would have tried to expel of those foreign Jews, you know, to put out all the foreign Jews, but to do the same thing to German Jews. So if I were Hitler, I would have expelled from Germany all the foreign Jews who came from Poland, etc., etc. But I wouldn't have expelled from Germany the German Jews, you know. I think, in my opinion, it was a mistake.
But, you know, many German Jews, what they call, I won't even call them German Jews. I say they're Jews who are living in Germany, but they were very very anti-Hitler, and a lot of them were leaving on their own and then working against the Reich after, you know, from outside of the country, and those who were in the country were collaborating,
yes,
so on. So, you know, they had that problem. Do you think that it did? What's that decision to actually remove everyone, all of them? Wasn't that made after 1939? Pretty much.
Can you repeat, please?
What I said earlier, that I thought that decision to actually remove all the Jews physically as much as they could, they knew they couldn't do all of it, but I think they knew that. They never did remove all of them. By far, but to remove them all physically came after the war because they were considered disloyal.
Oh, yes. And
other countries do that too. All these other allied countries did the same.
I'm sure that they couldn't act in another way after 1939. Mm-hmm. I'm sure. And I agree with you. I'm sure that during the war, Yellow Star, to confine them in camps, it was right, because in the United States, they did the same thing with Japanese. Yes, I think it's legal during the war. But Hitler wanted to expel from Germany all the Jews, even after war. And I don't think it's very fair, you know. I don't think. But we can discuss of that. We can discuss. In my opinion, it was not very, very fair. But, you know, you can have an opinion, and after you have facts. You are confronted by facts, and you have to take a decision. So I won't blame Hitler for having taken his for this decision. I won't blame Hitler for his decision. Perhaps I think that if I were Hitler, I wouldn't have act like that. But I don't blame Hitler for that. Sure.
Right. Yes, you're a different person. Well, what about, this brings to my mind now, what about the Jews in France? How do you see them? Do you not see them as a sort of a collective problem for,
I don't think today is the same problem. And, you know, on that subject, I have a personal view, and think that, today, and even yesterday or in the past time, Jews are reveal the health of the country. You know, I will say that in another way. If French people. It's French people. Jews get power in hill society. You know, if this society is a good one, Jews don't have power. So, in my opinion. I don't care about Jews.
Oh, so you want to change society into a society that we have some defenses.
I want to change societies, and I say that if we have a better society, Jews won't have a great power. You will have Jews with medicine in a hospital, perhaps, but they won't have a great power in television, in the newspaper, etc. So,
but you know, go ahead and finish.
Oh no, I have finished. So I would like to say that.
But the thing is that Jews very strongly promote this kind of society that you're saying is not a good society, and I agree with you. That this is a society that they want and they are promoting. How do we, since they're promoting it through all the avenues of media and so on that they control, how do we ever change it?
I agree with you that it's a society they want. But perhaps they want that society, but the people accept it. You can't make a society without the acceptance, the agreement, yes, it's better. Yes, thank you, Barry. You can't make a society without the agreement of the majority. You can make a society temporarily without the agreement, but not on a long time. No. If you run a society on a long time, it's because you have the agreement of the majority. And you know, in France, for example, now, with Internet, it's the same that in the United States, everybody can learn about revisionism, can learn about a lot of about Jews, etc. But only few people want. And even if you said to a person, well, do you know what revisionist is? This person doesn't want to know because they like this society.
Well, it isn't just that. They are convinced that the alternative is very bad, and they are convinced that anything that would come from Adolf Hitler or the National Socialist period in Germany has to be very, very bad. So people are badly brainwashed, and brainwashed, well, not only by the Jewish power structure, but by the American and British that were in control of the war and so on.
I understand, but you know, you can't be brainwashed on a long time. Yes, you can be surprised at the beginning. They can brainwash you, but on a long time is not possible. And you know, I will give you an example from Belgium. In Belgium, in the town of Charleroi, socialists were the first party, you know, political party. The Parti Socialiste had 70% during all the elections.
The elections?
Oui, yes. Oui. And one day, a scandal arose, because socialists stole money, a lot of money, and they stole money who was for the poor persons who lived in a house very cheap, you know. So they stole money and they for them to buy luxurious cars, and house with a swimming pool, etc. It was an enormous scandal. And it was 2 or 3 months before a new elections. And all the journalists say, oh la la, they will be defeated at this election. And we are sure that extreme right will have a very, very large score. But it didn't happen. Thank you. It didn't happen. Well, they lost electors. They lost, but socialists, Parti Socialist was at 70%, and they went to perhaps 60 or 57 or 60. But they were still the first political party.
Mm-hmm.
They won the elections,
right.
And they were still the first party. Why? Because everybody knew that they stole money, a lot of money. But people say, well, we socialists, we have allocations, we have a lot of things, and it's enough for them, because with all this allocation, I can buy television, cellular phone, etc. So I'm sure that today you have an agreement of the majority of people. It's impossible to run a society without the agreement of people. It's because I say, I don't matter of them. I don't mind of them. It's not a problem. It's in my body, I have a lot of germs, a lot of virus, but if I have a good defense, there's no problem for me. But tomorrow, if I am tired, if I am anxious, etc., perhaps I will develop a new disease. But it's not the fault of virus or germs, etc. It's my fault. It's because it's the same for society.
Okay. Let's go on to this other question so I can get it in, all right? I understand what you're saying, and a lot of people feel the same way. Pardon me.
Because I'm not anti-Semite. I don't say that. I don't say that hoping my French judge will be good with me. No, they won't be good with me. They will sentence me to jail even if I say, well, I am not anti-Semitic, but I am not anti-Semitic because I don't mind. I don't mind. It's not my problem. My problem is people, not the Jews. Okay, that's just what I wanted to say.
Yes. Good. Well, and thank you. And what about I kind of thought, and I might be wrong, that in this video that we've talked about, we never did get to the other one. That's the way it goes. The one about that I'm calling your masterpiece. But this one, that you are saying that God created man as a first man and woman, and or something similar to that. And in any case, what did the man look like who God created?
Okay. Yes, I understand your question. I in my video, I just wanted to say that you can be a scientific, because I am a chemist at the beginning. You can be a scientific and you can believe that God made man. But, I don't believe that he made man with Earth. I'm sure that it was different. And the question is, do you think that we came from Africa or...
Right, so like if even if God, we're talking about God creating the spirit of man, what did these first individuals who were created with God's spirit, by God, who were they? Were they the most primitive of the African people?
No, I don't think so. I think that the first were white people, because I'm sure that white people is the best race on the world. And I don't say that because I am white, but because philosophy is made with white people. All the large constructions is made by white people. Spatial Odyssey is made by white people, etc., etc. So I'm sure, perhaps I'm wrong, but I'm sure that the first man and the first woman were white, and after you had other races, I am convinced yet that after new races appeared, but they wasn't as good as white race.
If these new races appeared later?
Yes, I'm sure.
Could they have been not created by God's spirit and formed themselves some other way?
Oh, I believe to the evolution. So I think that when you had at the beginning only race. And after, with evolution, made by climate or mutation or I don't know what, because we don't know a lot of things about real history, very far history. So I believe to an evolution. So I'm sure that at the beginning, the first human being were white, and after, with evolution process, you had other race, but I'm convinced that the best race is the white race.
Do you think that God would be happy for the white race to be the dominant race on Earth to keep things in order and make?
I think that natural order command that white race rules the world. For me, it's evident.
Okay.
It's obvious. It's obvious that in the divine plan, right race must rule the world, because all the things that can be is right race. Perhaps, you know, when you have an inner right society, a black person or another race, a black person can perhaps make good things, but inside a white structure, out of a white structure, I don't think it's possible. Mm-hmm. It's my opinion.
Well, I think it's been demonstrated. You know, we call it an opinion, but I think it can be, you know, pretty much proven, actually. But it goes against this grain of that we are already talking about, of the political order that they want to have. When I say they, I mean, you know, all these people that don't think like you, they want to have this other way. And they are actually, what would make all these people, and even Jews, let me say this, doesn't it seem that Jews want to destroy the white race? When we can look at tons of evidence that they are trying to, through immigration and so on, just through immigration, let's say, want to mix up and destroy any kind of real white race until it's just a bunch of mixed people living on this planet who cannot. The only people who would be capable of running it then would be the Jews who had not mixed and still were, you know, capable, or they don't have what the white race has. But still, that's what they would prefer, don't you? You don't. I mean, I think that's what they're actually going after. Not every Jew is thinking along those lines. They would be, you know, it would be way beyond anything they could imagine doing or thinking. But I think there's enough that do that this is what they have in mind. Otherwise, why are they pushing immigration the way they are to destroy our racial purity?
I'm sure you're right. You're right. Because you have a lot of immigration everywhere in Europe and the United States. But I still think that a lot of person, because they are selfish, a lot of white people, because they agree with this situation until they can live in a certain comfort, you know, mm-hmm. until they can live in a good quarter, corners, etc., etc. They don't believe, they don't mind. Well, we have a lot of immigration, but it's far, etc. So, you know, I agree with you, but I say the first sin is in white people, and it's because I want to open the eyes to white people. Without saying, yes, it's and me, but perhaps, but it doesn't matter, it's and me. You have to be healthy people to resist.
Right. Well, that's what most revisionists do say. That's most revisionists, for one thing, don't want to be seen as racist or anything like that, because it harms the way their work looks, if it looks like it's coming from that point of view. But I think they are sincerely that way. Like, I had Bradley Smith on a few weeks ago, and we were talking about the same thing, really. He was saying the same thing, and most do say that. So you're in very good company. It would be great if we could bring that change about in all white people. It's a very difficult, but I think it is because that's all white people are now convinced that immigration is basically good, and if you don't want these other people coming into your country like this, well, that's because you know there's something wrong with you, or you are racist, and that isn't a racist point of view actually, it's going to be, we're going to lose our majority, you know, but that's a whole other issue. So we've only got about a minute or so Vincent, I want to thank you so much for being on the program, and you're always so free, you know, you're always so willing to answer everything and to say everything you know about. And what would you like it, what message would you like to leave now for the listeners before the show?
Well, I don't know. Do you, Marie, have a... No, we have no message. I always say thank you, Caroline, for inviting us, and we are, I am every time very happy to speak, but I'm sorry I don't speak very well. I can read English, but I can't speak in very well. But thank you very much, and thank you for the United States with freedom of speech. It's a heaven for us, in Europe.
Yes, okay. And, well, we hope that I'm looking forward to being able to see your video. Like you say about English, I can kind of read to make some sense out of French if I'm reading it, but I can't even understand it spoken. You know, it moves too fast and doesn't,
yes,
each word is not the way it looks. So, let alone, speak it. But, so I'm looking forward to making more progress with, getting your wonderful videos in with some English in them, so all of us here in the United States can get everything out of them that you put into them. So thanks a lot, Vincent and Marie, and listeners, thank you for sticking with this program.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. And be sure to visit Carolyn's website at carolynyager.com.